said.
Don't believe what I just saw!
I'm a man! I'm 40!
This is John Sheezer. I'm here.
Eric Marino.
Eric.
No, I gotta tell you about the Clippers. I'm an
addict. Sportsaholics, I gotta.
Let's just hope this shit doesn't go viral.
Okay.
Welcome back to Sportsaholics. This is episode number 111. This is a very good episode. We've got Marty Albert on this week, the head cholo, the head gringo cholo. And this, Marty is a very avid soccer fan here in Southern California and lives and resides in Ocean Beach, which many of, if you've ever been to San Diego, Ocean Beach is kind of like the Venice Beach. You're going to see some hippies. You're going to be offered LSD if you're walking around in the streets, maybe some mushrooms and weed. What I'm saying is it's a good time. There's good people there. It's a fun environment. If you're visiting San Diego, definitely go check out Ocean Beach. You'll have a good time. So Marty lives in Ocean, OB, as the locals say. But he travels down to Tijuana to go to soccer games down there and has an incredible time. And it's been covered actually all over by news outlets from all over the world. And so we had him on to kind of tell his story. I don't want to really get into too much of it right now, but amazing story and has amazing time. And now I've got on my schedule to go down there and experience that with him because it sounds absolutely incredible. But this week in sports, I mean, mainly like we got football starting up and everyone just finished their NFL in their fantasy draft and everyone is looking at. And everyone's got two teams, and which I did this year because, you know, I've got two. I got my Comedy Store team, this is the first time I did the live draft. It was at the La Jolla Comedy Store. We did it on the stage where you had the sticker and you peel it off and you go walk up and you present the draft pick and you announce it. It was fun. Pizza, beers, all that kind of stuff. It was a good time. I would recommend if you haven't done that with your friends, try it. It's a lot fun, you know, to talk trash face to face than typing, you know, over the internet, and then you don't have to worry about if your buddy's kid's reading what you're typing and all that kind of. You're like, I don't know if a 12-year-old needs to be reading what I'm typing right now, but it's not my fault that you're letting your 12-year-old, 14-year-old, 8-year-old in on the fantasy draft. I didn't know that. So just disclose that information. Just like if I'm calling you, let me know that your kids are in the car when you put me on speaker and I won't cuss. If you don't tell me that, then I'm going to cuss. That's just how it's going to slip out accidentally. So that just goes out to all fantasy players. One, let us know when your kids are in the car. And two, do a live draft in person. It's a lot of fun. And then did the one over the internet, which was fine too, but now it's the classic. I've got conflicting lineups, and at some point I'm gonna have to root against myself to win in each league, and it happens every year. And it's really why I try not to do two leagues every year. But look, if you have a group of friends that you're pretty close with and any opportunity presents itself for you to degrade any of those people in your life through fantasy football, which opens up the doors to many other things, because, you know, they'll make themselves vulnerable, and then all of a sudden you're like, well, I'm not the guy that burnt 25 hamburgers at a barbecue last July. And then, you know, you can bring up old stuff that you've been, you know, maybe you buried, been holding on your back hip for a while. Fantasy football is a great forum for you to bring that back out and be like, yeah, you know what, I'm gonna check you right now. Remember that time it took you 12 hours to drive to Dallas? That's an 8-hour drive. Like, you're the worst driver. Whatever it is. You can't hold your liquor. These are just examples you could use. But I'm excited for football. College, a lot of upsets, obviously, last weekend. You know, the 8 or whatever, which people are like, oh, look at all these upsets. All these ranked teams are getting upset. They're only upsets because the people that rank them don't know how to rank teams. I mean, that's how I always kind of looked at that. I'm like, well, then
Can we get new people to rank the teams then? Because these people obviously don't know how to do it very well if eight of these teams have already lost. That was kind of my take on it. But it's football. They're 18, 19, 22. You know, you don't know. There's no preseason. You don't know what you're going to get with the college football. And that's why, you know, I was going to use Appalachian State as an example, but, you know, that's a bad example. They're, you know, obviously the Michigan upset almost beat, I believe, Tennessee last weekend. But that's why you schedule these mid-level teams. That's your preseason, college coaches. And now with the new format, you don't really need to beef up your schedule. You're not penalized from the way I understand it. The way it used to be, you were slightly penalized. I remember Kansas State for years would always get slightly penalized because they would open up with the easiest schedule. Like teams you didn't even know existed were playing Kansas State in preparation for the Big 12. But no, I'm ready to go. You know how it goes. The season gets going. Next thing you know, it's week 14. Super Bowl's around the corner. I like the fall season when the football's on every Sunday. It's extra lazy. It's like an extra level of relaxation that you can get to when a football game's on. I don't know if it's the chili, maybe it's the nacho cheese. I don't know if it's the cooler temperature in the air that allows the body to sink deeper into a couch seeking warmth. And I don't know what it is, but I'm excited for it and I'm ready for it to start. But I'll tell you what, we'll stop talking about American football right now. Plug a few things. When you're in San Diego, La Jolla, do yourself a favor. Stop by Don Carlos Taco Shop on Pearl Street in downtown La Jolla. Amazing tacos, amazing friend of the show. Just great food all around. The Don himself, amazing. Definitely do yourself a favor. Go check out Don Carlos Taco Shop in La Jolla on Pearl Street. If you're in San Diego or down in this area, definitely check it out. Also go to onelovely.com if you want to get amazing shirts. I like to call them one-offs. Just you just don't want to be seen in the shirt the other people are wearing. Go to One Lovely, onelovely.com, and check out their stuff. They've got good stuff, and you know no one else is going to have it on. So you're not going to walk into a club or a bar or anywhere and stare at three dudes that all went to Target like you did, and they're all wearing the same shirt. That to me is always weird, but anyway. Go check them out. And when we get back, we're going to be talking with the head gringo, the gringo cholo, Marty Albert. Great guy. Had a great time talking with him. And yeah, we'll be back.
También es el mío, porque yo también ando al 100 con el tío. Si la guerra es suya, pues también es mía. Mi gente es su gente, y yo le hago esquina. En una ocasión, usted salvó mi vida.
All right, we are back on Sportsaholics with the legendary, in my opinion, legendary, Marty Albert, the head cholo of the gringo cholos. Is that, Marty, is that a good way to describe you? And first of all, thanks for coming on.
I would describe it, yeah, he's the guy with the most enthusiasm. That's me.
Now, where did all this, and now pardon me, as if I just referred to you as the head gringo, but where did all this enthusiasm for Mexican soccer come from a white guy in Ocean Beach?
Well, living in Ocean Beach, me and my friends, we're all pretty much, we surf, and that's our gig, so we spend a lot of time just south of Tijuana on the playas and the point surfing all the time. And so we're very familiar with Tijuana and Mexico as a whole through Baja. So we don't ever have like any, we never think anything bad about it. It's like second nature for us.
It's like, and okay. So I, in living in San Diego, and I did not realize this. And for the rest of you Americans, and you hear your TJ stories and all that, and don't go down there. And look, yes, it is Mexico, and there is danger there. But at the same time, when I open up my newspaper, or my app, I guess I should say, on my phone this morning, and I read that 65 people got shot in Chicago this weekend, you know, like, if you really weigh it out, is it really that dangerous in Tijuana? And really, and the answer is no. It's not.
Well, I think there were shootings in Chicago. There was not that 65 people didn't die.
No, didn't there die. Just, but there were 60.
No, but there were 90 people that were murdered in Chicago the month previous in August. Total of August, 90.
Yeah. No, it's, you know, which is sad. But when you put those statistics up against anything that you see in Tijuana, and they're probably, you know, I can't even. They're probably three times as high. And like, I'm just trying to, you know, as someone that's down here by the border, especially if you're of, you know, if you have family in Mexico, really San Diego and Tijuana, if you are Hispanic and you speak Spanish, or I guess in your case, even if you don't, and I'm not sure if you're fluent or not, I'm sure you picked some up over the years, but it's really one big city is what I'm trying to emphasize. Yeah, there's a border that goes across, but I know people that every day cross the border that have a house down in TJ that come up to San Diego to work, go right across the border at the end of the night, you know, to their family. So really, it's one big Hispanic community. It's divided by a country, but really it is. It was surprising.
Well, for us, it's no different than being like La Jolla, Imperial Beach, Chula Vista. There's just a fence.
Yep.
It'd be like if there was a fence stopping us for anybody getting in Ocean Beach, or you know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's how Tijuana is for us. It's just an extension. It's just a neighbor. It's just an extension of Baja.
Yep. You just have to have a passport to get down there, unfortunately.
Well, you do, but then again, you don't. It just depends on the features you got on your face and how well you speak.
Because
I know plenty of guys that go down there with just their driver's license, or you can still do it with your birth certificate. Then no one's stopping you getting in.
No.
It's only getting out is where they're stopping you.
Right, right, right. And that is true. You know, if you someone that's from the Midwest like me that requires the SPF 50 lotion, yeah, I might have a little bit easier time getting across.
Yeah.
For sure. But so what, okay, let's start with the love of obsession of soccer. Was that something that were you born with here in that you grew up with? Were you playing soccer, or where did that passion?
Before I moved to San Diego, I was raised. I went to all the way through high school up in Fresno, California, so it's
okay.
State. It's a huge agricultural community, so you can imagine there's a lot of Hispanic Latinos that live up there, and so I grew up in a multicultural environment, and soccer being one of, you know, a major sport if you're Latin, even more powerful than hockey or anything like that. So in that sense of the community, it's not the fifth sport. It's more like the third or fourth in popularity.
Right.
So it
right.
was really easy for me to grow up and play soccer. Pretty much everyone in the United States probably plays soccer from kindergarten until sixth grade.
Yep.
And then you start getting the more organized sports of baseball through middle school, get into the Pop Warner football that kind of dilutes you to those four major sports. And then soccer gets kind of left to the side, and it's just always been that way. And so me and all my friends have played soccer all the way through, you know, sixth grade, some of us seventh and eighth grade, and then you lose it, and then you end up running track or playing baseball, football, basketball. So I always had it in my blood, but then I lost it. You know, once you get out of the valley and you get out of that, you kind of lose it. But unfortunately, fortunately for me, I married an Italian woman, and I got a chance to go over to Europe and spend
nice.
A lot of time going to games over there and playing a little bit over there. And the passion over there was just unbelievable that I immediately got hooked on it.
You know, and
then I would stand out because they're like, why is this American so much involved in loving soccer so much? And then that's how that really passion started for me.
Well, it's and that's such a big part of it. You can't fall in love with the sport unless you are given a reason. And I think that's what's missing now. Or was missing in America. Now the MLS is doing a good job of, I would say putting a Band-Aid on it, like starting to fix that stigma with soccer, you know, and being from Kansas City, Marty, everyone I know that is still living in Kansas City goes to and tries to go to, and it's one of the hardest tickets to get in town, the Sporting Kansas City games. And they built their own stadium, and it packs in 20,000 really tight. And it's one of the more fun live events you can attend in Kansas City. And now, and that's been going on now for, I think, you know, that they've been selling out this new stadium for 5-6 years, and they won the MLS Cup in 13. So that helps obviously as well. But it's weird now. I go back and I don't see nearly as many Chiefs jerseys as I do. I see just as many soccer jerseys. And, you know, it takes time, but you've got to create a fun, like you said, in Italy, that fun and exciting environment where you can witness, you know, and live those exciting moments. And then after that, you're hooked. I mean, I got hooked. I was lucky enough in 2004 to attend a friendly match between Club America and Manchester United at the Coliseum in Los Angeles. And it was sold out, 100,000 people, which in 2004 for a soccer match was crazy. Even
100%, it's insane.
And people were cheering, going nuts. And I tell you what, Marty, as soon as I saw my first smoke bomb, I was in love. I'm like, they're lighting off smoke bombs. How could I not love this sport? There are fireworks being lit off right now. Drum circles going everywhere. People chanting. It was crazy. And that
is always was on my bucket list, because, you know, I seen that the smoke flares, the fireworks and stuff in the stadium, but only in Europe. And Tijuana has actually fulfilled one of my dreams by letting us do that. And it's a unique, special thing that's not for everyone. Not everybody gets a chance to do it. But I got something knocked off my bucket list by that. And as you can see, it's that kind of atmosphere that even makes the game even more important than it really is, because it turns it into a spectacle. It's not just that you're watching the ball get kicked from one man to another man and making a play. It's all the things that go on in and outside the stadium that just turn this game into a cultural event.
And as I read online, and listeners, if you go to Twitter, Instagram, at Gringo Cholos, it's GringoXolos, GringoXolos. And that's how I stumbled across Marty. It was on Instagram and looking at these amazing pictures from south of the border and Ocean Beach and, you know, and everywhere in between. But describe, let's say, a listener, you know, in Kentucky, never been to California, maybe never even seen the ocean before. What is your day like, a day that you're traveling down to Mexico to one of these? Okay, and we didn't even establish this. What's the name of the club?
The club's name is Cholos Quinteles, and it's basically a hairless dog that used to be the protector of the Aztec and the Mayans way back before they even spoke Spanish in Mexico.
The Cholos Quinteles?
Yes. Cholos Quinteles.
Quinteles. Gotcha.
So this dog is like a powerful symbol in Mexico for the native Mexicans. And so they, being the last team that was brought into the Mexican League, the Cholos chose this name. I'm not, you know, sure exactly why, but I'm sure it had a lot to do with that being such a powerful symbol, that Tijuana needed to have something that was recognizable, because they are so far away from the mainland of Mexico. They're the furthest team away. I think they're almost 2,000 miles away from Mexico City.
Yeah, so they're the Seattle Seahawks or Seattle Mariners of Mexican League sports.
Exactly. So it's such a they don't even, a lot of, like in Mexico City, they won't even consider Tijuana part of Mexico, really. They think it's more American than it is Mexico.
I could see that. Yeah, and the fact that half of the citizens of Tijuana work in America.
You could be, those numbers could be accurate.
I mean,
but the bottom line is Yeah. Tijuana is filled with people from all over Mexico.
Right.
They have, for one reason or another, been stuck in Tijuana. And then you have all the Americans that have crossed over and decided to live there and make their lives. So you actually have an influence from all over the Mexico. And then the Americans, and they mix all this stuff together, and you get a unique language, a unique flavor of food. The air, everything is unique to itself. There is nothing that compares to Tijuana.
Now, so it's game day, which are those usually fall on like a Wednesdays and Saturdays, kind of in the tradition of North?
Well, their weekday games are usually the cup games for the Mexican Cup.
Okay.
And the Cholos usually play their second team against the other team's second team, or if it's a team that's coming up from the second division, they're playing their starters. So it's not really a big game for us, per se, as much as it is continued training for a lot of the younger players on the team.
Okay.
And then the Cholos themselves play their Mexican League games at home, always on Fridays, because they are the furthest team away from Mexico City, and their games would kick off at 9 p.m. in Mexico City, and it's 7 o'clock here. So that way they can have like a game on at 5 o'clock from there in Mexico, and then have ours as late game. And
okay.
I don't know, different than how we're going to have our Monday Night Football two games.
Okay, I see. It's just some good broadcasting scheduling. Now there's
exactly. It's totally done for the ability of the people to come home late from work and have a game to watch, and they can get the viewing.
And now, Chivas, is that in Tijuana or is that in Guadalajara?
No, Chivas, Guadalajara. They're one of like five teams in Guadalajara, but they only have, I want to say, three that are right now in the Premier.
Okay.
And the two that are in the second.
Gotcha. Okay. I just wanted to clear that, because I know that like they have an enormous presence
that I feel
in North America, you know, north of the border, as well as Club America. Where does Club America call?
Now, Club America's in Mexico City, and those are the two biggest teams, and they have a rivalry that's, you know, like a, you know, 75, 80 years old, and it being that Chivas is the oldest team in Mexico. They're over 105 years old.
Wow.
And wow. America's being the richest team in Mexico. And so you kind of have like this rivalry of the oldest team against the richest team.
So you kind of, you got your Yankees Red Sox rivalry right there.
That is your Yankees Red Sox, or your Dodger Yankee is how I like to call it.
See, okay. And Marty, I'm sorry to keep breaking this down into baseball and football, but our average listener,
you can do that in America.
All right. You need to. And a lot of our listeners are in the, I hate to say it, blanket statement, flyover states, but that's where they live. So as many, you know, as much things to help understand, the better. So that's kind of where all that's coming from. Okay. So you get up, you have a morning routine. Are you a superstitious man? Do you take the same route to the game every time for luck or anything like that?
We do, like, I got my hat that I wear, my jersey and stuff that we always wear. And then, you know, we all go to work on Friday, and we all try to get off somewhere around 1 o'clock or so. The game starts at 7, but it takes a while to get down to Tijuana. Not, it doesn't take a long time, but there's a lot of things that we do before kickoff. And one thing we always tell ourselves is you never have enough time in Tijuana. You can never have enough time.
That's a good philosophy.
We group up together. My nephew has a restaurant down here in Ocean Beach called Raglan Public House, and we generally all meet there, and then we just jump in Ubers, or if one of our guys has a van, we'll jump in a van and head down to the border, and we'll park on the American side, because it's only about $5 to $7 to park for 10 hours, and then we'll just walk right into Tijuana and jump in a cab, and for $5, a cab will get you to anywhere you need to go. And so generally our first stop is go get tacos immediately. We got to go get tacos.
Now, what kind of tacos are you?
On tacos and beer.
Are you getting fish tacos, shrimp tacos? What are you going with?
Tijuana's not so famous for their fish taco. They're famous for an adobada taco, which is like a pork that's on a skewer. And they usually put a pineapple or an onion, a chipotle at the top. And it just marinates with this wonderful seasoning.
And it
just rotates on this just spinner.
That sounds so good. That sounds so
good.
It
is good. Now, it's like, this is not normal food, that you will only find this adobada in Tijuana. Now, you'll see shanks of pork being cooked on skewers all out through Mexico, but it's not this style of a skewer. This adobada is not pastor, it's adobada. And it's just amazing. It's a unique flavor to Tijuana and maybe Mexicali and going down the Baja. It is just one of the most amazing things you'll ever eat, and you can't stop once you have them.
Dude, that just sounds amazing, and that's going to be on the top now of my list of things to get whenever I do go down to TJ for again. I have not been down there in about 10 years, and so...
Okay. Well, we go to this place. It's called Tacos Frank. It's right by the Costco. It's, it's a $5 cab ride, and it's less than 5 minutes from the actual border. It's right across the street from another great taco spot called Tacos El Gordo, which we actually have one down here in Chula Vista.
Oh, okay.
But for us, the one in Chula Vista is better than the one in Tijuana. And the Tacos Frank blows everybody out of the water.
That's hilarious. I love that Tacos Frank is the spot to go to. That's great.
Yes. It's an amazing little spot. She has the original one started down in Playa Tigres, and then she got so good at it and perfected it that she made a nice little spot in Tijuana. So that's our go-to. We immediately hit that spot and gorge ourselves on as many tacos. But you got to leave yourself some room because you still got a long way to go. We just started. We just got there. You know,
and right now, and you're looking at your clock and you're like, guys, it's what? It's 4 o'clock. We got to get on to the next spot. Or...
Yeah, now it's 4 o'clock. We just wasted an hour of travel time and eating tacos. Now we're down 3 hours before kickoff. Now for myself, I need to be at the stadium an hour before kickoff because I want to do some tailgating. So that leaves us 2 hours for shenanigans. Your shenanigans could be anything you want them to be. And Tijuana has a lot of things to offer. If it's anywhere from going to Revolution and doing some shopping to going to Acahuila and doing the strip club thing, if that's what your thing is. Or you can go to the casino and you can lay down bets. Now, Caliente is the biggest casino in all of Mexico. And they have probably about 4 or 5 different Caliente's in Tijuana that you can go and lay bets. Now, we like to go to the one that's across the dirt parking lot of the stadium, and it actually has a dog track, so you can bet on the Greyhounds. It has a full casino, like anything you would see from the Indian reservations to Las Vegas, and it's got every game, every slot machine, and then it's got a pretty decent, two decent restaurants inside.
Nice. So you're gonna put any bets down on the actual soccer match there? Or are you just
going? Exactly. And you know, we go there, we'll bet on the game. We've been doing this since 2011. I've had my season pass, so I've got a pretty good idea on the teams and who's on their teams and who's playing and what your best bet's gonna be. As much as the other guys have been doing as long as I have. So
we'll like
to do a parlay or something like that. We'll find three games over the weekend, or we'll match up the soccer game we're going to go watch with a basketball game or a baseball game. There's all kinds of little things you can do, and it's a lot of fun. You know, it makes the game more interesting when you're financially invested in it a little bit.
Yeah, no, it adds a little spice to it. You know,
it does.
You know, definitely. I'm one to lay the championship bet. You know, so I'll go for like, this is going to win it. I like that team and they're 12-1. Yeah, I'll put $30 on that, you know, that kind of thing. And definitely win in Vegas. Yeah, I'll go to the parlay with $100 and I'm betting on basketball, baseball, stuff like that. Because yeah, because then all of a sudden, it just adds that extra little bit of excitement. And so
yeah, there's not too many places in America where you have a casino and then a professional team playing right next door that you can actually bet on. Now this is probably this is a problem like in Vegas. Why Vegas can't have a professional team because they're worried about shenanigans and fixings and things like that. Mexico's right. It's a different way of life. It's a different way of thinking, and it definitely makes it for an exciting night.
Dude, that's so now you walk. You're looking for tailgating. Do you have a certain group?
Yeah. So I've laid down my bets. Now a lot of the other guys they like to stay in the sports book and watch other games and maybe bet on some other horse tracks. They have the open air, the satellite wagering for all the tracks in the U.S. So you can stay in there all day. And most of those guys will stay until about 15 minutes before kickoff. Myself, I've got multiple friends from work that live in Tijuana, and they all have tailgate parties. And I want to be a part of that. So I immediately place my bet and just hoof it into the parking lot and grab myself a nice cold Tecate and start mingling with all my friends and family.
Now,
and Tijuana is another place that only this happens in Mexico, is the tailgating. And the tailgating was adopted from Charger games. It was all the people from Tijuana that would go to Charger games, and they were like, whoa, people are partying in the parking lot. This is amazing. And they brought that back into Tijuana. So they brought that American culture into Tijuana's culture, and they don't do it at any other soccer games in Mexico. They don't tailgate. They don't even let you hang out in the parking lot. So Tijuana has this unique experience to where you have this flair of American tailgating, but then the Mexican people just blow it out of the water because every 5 cars to 10 cars, they have a mariachi band. And they're roasting a pig right there in the parking lot. They're cooking manta tacos. They're cooking just anything and everything that is just off the chart flavor-wise. They've got it cooking. So it's a fiesta before the game. And I just tell everybody, this is an experience that everybody needs to feel and come and taste and be a part of, because that actually is part of the whole experience of going to the game. It's just not like, because soccer is so straightforward. You get 45 minutes, a couple penalty kicks, halftime for 15 minutes, they're right back out for 45 minutes, then you get a couple minutes of penalty, and then boom, the game's over in 2 hours. So you want your 2 hours to be 4 hours, so they party an hour before and an hour afterwards.
And I've seen some of the great pictures. And again, listeners, if you go to Gringo Cholos on Twitter or Instagram, it's GRINGOXOLOS. That's GRINGOXOLOS. Like I said, there's a bunch of really great pictures you can check out. Because those pictures are worth a million words, because they're incredible, and it just looks like such a good time, and everyone's having a great time, and how many people are there like you that you've met that crossed the border to go to the games?
Well, we've summed it up. There's probably about 30% of their fan base, and this is growing. It's 30% that come across from the border. Now they're Mexican Americans, Anglo Americans. They're African Americans. It's just a wide spread of people just across the map that just. Once they've tasted it, that's all they want to do. And a Friday night in Tijuana means you're relaxed. You got off of work. It just sets the weekend. It really does. Friday night football in Tijuana.
Now, I've heard rumblings. I don't know if there's any truth to that about MLS expansion in San Diego. And to me, it makes sense. There's a market here. There's soccer fans. Is that somewhat of a concern for you, or are you excited about that possibility?
If we were talking about this 10 years ago, I've been excited. I don't really care if the MLS comes or not. And to be honest, I don't think they could pull it off now. Tijuana owns this now. They own this area. The best thing that they could do would put a NASL team here. one of the other leagues that doesn't pay as much or try to get that flair. They did such a great job marketing this in this city and using Mexican Americans that have grown up in here in San Diego to actually play down there, plus other guys that are Mexican Americans that have come in from different parts of the United States that play for our national team, play it for Tijuana. So I think that they pretty much sold this area up. They sell out every game if they're doing well. Every game will be sold out. So here on this side of the border, for them to build a stadium that's can't be for soccer on the U.S. side, your stadium can't be more than 22,000 people. You got to do that thing like you were talking about in Kansas City, where there's only 20,000 plus tickets. And there's the population, they can hold it at that and make sure that every game sold out.
Right. It's still a hot ticket. I know, because for years
it's a hot ticket. They make a mistake and try to play it in a 38,000 seat arena, or they try to play at Qualcomm, the game doesn't look it. You don't feel the passion. You don't feel the excitement, the pageantry, all that stuff. It's minimalized. You have to play to a certain amount of people, and to have that just look like it's just off the chart.
No, you're right. Because I mean, for years, I mean, I think MLS is in their 20th season now, and I remember they were the Wizards at the time and not Sporting Kansas City. So the Kansas City Wiz played at Arrowhead Stadium, and you know, there would be 7,000 people in an 80,000 seat. It looked horrible. It looked like,
how do the players get up for that? You know, how do they feel you? That's a big thing also, is the players being in these smaller stadiums that are 30,000 and less, they feel the people. We're on them, you know, and they can just feel it in their bones, and it gives them energy to play harder, to run faster, to do that extra little thing that maybe they wouldn't have if they didn't hear us.
Yeah, no, you're absolutely right. You're absolutely right. And so how is the team? Are they perennial champions? Are they contenders year after year? Where do they end up usually?
Well, right now we're at the top of the league. We are, I believe, 5-1-1, and we're sitting on top, and we've got a 3-point gap from anybody that's close to us. And we're right now on the World Cup qualifier break. So we didn't play last weekend. It was an open week and a half, 2 weeks. So they just got some training in, and we play Monterrey on Friday down in Monterrey, and I believe Monterrey is somewhere around fifth. Now, everything in the Mexican League, in the top eight positions, everybody is three points apart or less. It's a battle. There's 18 teams and there's only 8 playoff spots. And generally, you can always figure on the bigger, older, majestic teams to always be in that. And Tijuana, we're in our eighth season right now of existence. So this is a very young team. It's the youngest team to ever win a Mexican Cup, the Liga MX. So after they won that back in 2012, the coach we had, Mohamed, he had some issues, and he had to go back to Argentina, which kind of left the team up in the air without a coach. And so they scrambled to find a coach, and they kind of spent the next, I want to say, 4 seasons just running through coaches. They couldn't find the right guy. And then, thank goodness for the Gold Cup and Miguel Herrera losing his cool and punching that reporter and losing his job, not only for the national team but for Club Americas. He got suspended for a season, and that opened the door for the Cholos to make a bid and get this guy. He spent his suspension, and then we picked him up last year, like 2 games into the season he came on, and then he started, you know, figuring out the team. We floundered last year down in 12th, you know, 11th and 12th position, which was kind of normal for us over the last 4 seasons, coming from coaches and players. And then finally, the owner of the team this year, Hank Rome, just said, you know what? I'm tired of spending for a quantity of players. I'm going to spend my money on quality players. And he fulfilled that this year by picking up five really good guys and then backing it up with good salaries to keep the guys that we had here that we needed that sometimes would never want to play in Tijuana.
Right.
Because Tijuana being this bad rep city, and you really don't understand until you start hanging out in Tijuana and investing part of your life into it that it's no different than any major city in the United States or any major city around the world. We all have issues and problems that can all be fixed overnight, but with attention and enough money and going to the city to pay the police officers enough so they don't have to worry about them getting bribes and whatnot, things will start making a turn. And that's what the Cholos kind of did by making themselves so popular and winning the league. They made everybody that lived in Tijuana proud that they were living in Tijuana, and it gave them a reason to speak up now and say, I'm from Tijuana, I live here, to where before, majority of these people would always say where their parents came from or where they had moved from. But now those people, those same people are saying that their T1A says, this is where I'm from, this is my city, and they're proud of it. So that's the power of bringing a positive winning philosophy to a team, to this city.
It's very weird as I listen to you talk about this, because as a lifelong Royals fan and having just won the World Series, I feel like I've gone through that, you know, and when I meet people and I'm like, oh, you know, I live in California. I grew up in Kansas City, you know, but I'm like happy to mention that, especially if I know they're a sports fan, because they're immediately just going to be like, hey, congratulations, man. You guys have been really good recently. And then I can play out and be like, yeah, you know, we have. And, you know, it makes you feel good. It makes you proud of that. And so I never even would have taken that into consideration.
That's a huge thing about Tijuana, is like I was saying earlier. You know, 70% of that population, if not more, was all from a different region of Mexico, and they had dreams of coming across to work in the United States or get visas to come across to hang out with their families or whatnot. And for whatever reasons, they never made it, and then they get left in Tijuana, and then you have a whole population that has been living in the United States for a long time. For one reason or another, they get in trouble with the law or something happens in the family matter, and then they find out that they don't have legal documentation, and these people who've lived their whole lives in the United States get put right back into Mexico, and generally that's where they end up, in Tijuana or one of the other border cities. And then you find a whole population of well English speaking, they speak just as well as you and I, that live in Tijuana, and you hear their stories and you're just like in shock. And I've heard so many of these stories because I've been wanting to hear these stories, because they're people just like you and I. We put our pants on the same way. If you cut me open, I bleed red the same as they do. We're humans first and foremost. And the border, this whole, it's such a unique experience living where we live. And you're blessed that you live in downtown San Diego and you can experience both sides of the border. And unfortunately, there's people on the Tijuana side that won't ever have the same experiences we have, because it's just not possible for them to get across.
You know,
so this game for me has become more than a game. It's become a life movement, lifestyle kind of environment for me, to where I want to spend a lot more time down there and hanging out with the people, because they are so awesome and loving.
Yeah, and have opened up their, you know, families and friendship circles to you. And I'm sure look forward to seeing you when, you know, on Fridays, and then, you know, occasionally.
Oh, yeah, that's the beauty of it. I know every Friday that there's just going to be nothing but smiles all day long, because I'm seeing everybody. Either I haven't seen them in 2 weeks, or I just saw them on a job site, and they, you know, now I'm hanging out with them in their backyard, and they're making sure that I'm eating and I'm drinking and I'm having a good time.
Oh, that's one. Okay, so now at this point, you guys win, let's just say, in a shootout, and so now the game's over. Are you heading right back to a taxi, or do you guys go get a final, you know, like a dessert kind of shot of tequila? Where do you guys go from there?
Well, it's when the game's over, and let's say we win, lose, or draw. It doesn't matter. We're cholos for life. We always say that. Win, lose, or draw. Cholos for life. The cholos themselves, they don't want you to just run off. You're still a patron at the stadium. And so what they always do after every game, they'll have a live band. Someone's famous, a Mexican singer famous, or they'll do some kind of show down on the grass to keep the people there. So it's not like just big flush in the toilet and everybody leaving. They just leave nice and easy, everybody. Hang out. Have a couple beers after the game. There's no rush. And like I said, the game starts at 7. It's over at 9.
Yeah, so still relatively early.
Most people don't even leave the house in Tijuana until 9 o'clock to go out, you know?
Right,
so
right.
You still have a whole evening to go.
Nice, nice.
So what we'll do is we'll go back to the parking lot, and the bands are still playing, the food is still cooking, and we'll hang out, you know, and until people get a little bit tired, they start wrapping it up. And from there, we just walk right back into the casino and collect on our bets or make more bets, or maybe go play the slot machines, play some craps, and then catch a cab out front to, you still got lots of time. You can go back down to Revolution, go dancing at Las Pogas. A lot of guys, you know, you could, you know, figure it out. You know, it's Tijuana. They have a tourist zone for tourists to go down and hang out in.
Tourist traps everywhere. Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yep. But I'm looking for tacos after the game, you know, before and after.
Nice. Nice. And then get back to the border. Cross
well. Now, here's the beautiful thing is, after the game's over at 9 o'clock, if you choose to go home, nobody's going into the United States on a Friday at 9, 10, 11 o'clock. Everybody's coming into Tijuana to party to go do the nightlife in Tijuana. So your wait to get out of Mexico is probably no more than 10 minutes, if that.
Compared to...
So you walk right back across, you're back in your car. Some nights, I'm back on Friday nights, I'm back in Ocean Beach at 10:30.
Wow, okay. Nice, nice. Yeah, because, I mean, mileage-wise, it couldn't be more than, what, 30 miles to the stadium? There's just a...
About 30 miles. From my doorstep to the stadium, it's probably about 30 miles.
There's just that international border in between you guys.
Yeah, and you spend more time getting... It takes you longer to get into Tijuana than it does to get out after, you know... Just because everybody's off of work and they're trying to rush home to be a part of the game. So you get caught up in bottlenecks and traffic, and you can, like you said, you know, 60% of Tijuana might be working in California, you know, in San Diego and their surrounding areas that they're trying to get back home.
Yep.
So they can enjoy the game, if not at the stadium, at one of the pubs, if not at their house.
That just sounds like such a crazy experience. I know, you know, we had talked a little bit off air, but I mean, that, and I would love to just come down there and experience that.
I would love for you to come down to a game. I've got a group coming down from L.A. actually on for the 30th, September 30th game against Atlas, and I'm going to give them the little Gringo Cholo tour on how we do it. And yeah. I'd love for you to join in and be a part of that.
I feel like you I feel like you need to work for the club, whether they pay you in tickets or field passes or whatever. But I mean. You're like, you are.
Well, you know, it's not for me, but, you know, a lot of people say that to me. And for me, it's like, I'm in it for my friends and my family.
Absolutely.
Over the years. If I had to do something other than what I'm doing now, I think I would lose a lot. I mean, I'm so invested in the people that I have so much fun, and they give me so much joy that, it, you know, for days after the game, I still feel great.
Oh,
from
that's...
this whole experience. And I think if I try to turn it into a business or try to get paid to do it, I wouldn't have the same amount of love that I have for it now.
No, that makes sense, because then it becomes a job, you know. And
yeah.
And you know, that does take away from it. But, I mean, what a great – the fact that you're out there. And because, I mean, really the biggest problem, I think, for Mexico is the stereotype and the, you know – And look, there has been problems and everything you see on CNN and everything like that. But for you to go down there and then through the powers of Instagram, which again, listeners, at Gringo Cholos, GRINGOXOLOS, you know, you got these great, amazing pictures and you're down there having a good time. And then all of a sudden, as a sports fan, you're forced to say, wait a second. Here, this guy's going down here. Marty's down here all the time, having a great time. Never in fear, you know, of danger. And it's like, if you go to the bad part of town, you can find trouble, I'm sure. But, you know, it's like there's
in any major city you go to, there's places where you just don't go. And it's
exactly
the same thing with Tijuana, Chicago, San Diego even. You know what? There's more places I'm afraid of in San Diego than Tijuana. I'm not saying that I'm in every single neighborhood of Tijuana, but since I was 18 years old, I've been hanging out and, you know, spending time in Tijuana. If it wasn't for anything from going to the skate parks back in the early 90s to skating all through the 90s and the early 2000s to where we are now, I feel just as comfortable in Tijuana as I do here. I know that there's cartels still, but hey, there's still gangs here. So no matter where you go, you got issues. You just got to keep yourself in a certain frame of mind and in a certain area of town. And it's no different if it was San Diego or down there. You do the same thing. You respect the people the same. You show them the same courtesy, and you're going to get the same thing back. I guarantee you.
See, and that's, I mean, so listeners, so if you're coming to San Diego or if you're going to TJ, just like, consider a game. I mean, just to recap, you're going to cross the border. First thing you're going to do, you're going to go get tacos at Frank's or El Poro across the street, but preferably Frank's, right, Marty?
Preferably Frank's. Preferably. Tacos El Gordo is good, but Frank's is a little bit better.
But then you're going to leave there at about 4 o'clock. You want to leave room to go to the casino, have plenty of time to get your gambling in.
Well, not just the casino. It depends. You know, if you want to go down to Revolution, we can do that. You can have a couple mascals down there and get a flavor for that, and then we can head over to the casino from there or just straight to the casino. It depends on what the guys are feeling.
But the important thing here is you leave room for the tailgating, which we learned. I didn't know that was adopted from Chargers fans, you know, taking that tradition south of the border. So I learned a lot today, Marty, from having you on. And then at that point, you enter the game, have a time of your life, hope for a victory. But regardless, you're win, lose, or draw, Cholo for life, correct?
Win, lose, or draw, Cholo's for life. Hashtag Cholo's for life.
And then after that, you go collect on your winning tickets, and then at that point, the night is yours. You could go back home, which you could be home by as early as 10:30 if you live in Ocean Beach, or go out and live a little. It's up to you. But, I mean, that just sounds like an incredible 10 hours right there. Like,
oh, dude, and let me tell you something. If you have your Cholo jersey on after the game and you're in the town, and the people know that you went to the game, everybody's going to want to talk to you. What was your experience? Wow, Gringo, thanks for coming. You're like, I've been going to these games since, and some people don't understand. Like, I'm not the first white guy to go to a Cholos game. There were guys there when they were in the second division. I was blessed to find them in 2011, and as soon as I went to my first game, I never looked back, and I bought my Cholo pass. But there's guys just like me that have been doing it longer than I have. They're just not as vocal about it. They just don't, maybe they don't want the secret to be let out. What
right.
I always wanted to do is I wanted to let the other people know this is going on down here, and it's not what the media has been portraying to you on the news. You need to find your own story, your own way, and make your own story. And generally, after one trip down there, you have a new vision on what Tijuana is, and you have your own true-to-heart story that you can share instead of getting these secondhand stories, which are stories once they've gone through two people. Hey, that six-inch push, nobody cares about 6 inches, but if he was a foot and a half long, you're going to get a little bit more people to pay attention to.
Amen, amen.
That's yeah. Kind of how that Tijuana story works. Just because you paid a bribe because you were walking in the street drunk and you wouldn't have been able to do it in the United States, and the guy said, hey, give me $20 and we'll call it a day, and you chose to give him the $20, that's your story that you turn into, oh, I almost went to jail because I had to pay a bribe. Well, dude, you chose your story to be like that. You shouldn't have been ignorant enough to be
yeah.
drunk and drinking in the street. You can't do it in the United States What made you think you could do it in Mexico?
That's what I don't like about Tijuana. It enables Americans. It enables all the, like, a lot of the bad qualities in Americans, and that's the...
No, it's true. People think, like, hey, I'm on vacation. I can do whatever I want. Well, no, buddy, you can't.
Yeah.
And I think you're better off paying that $20 in your little drunk fine instead of having to actually go through the consequences.
Right, exactly.
Really could happen.
Well, listeners, again, go check it out. Gringo Cholos, GRINGO. XOLOS, Instagram and Twitter, and on Facebook too. Marty,
you know, we've just scratched the surface. We haven't even talked about last night's goal score for U.S. national team who plays for the Cholos.
So wait, break that down real quick then before we get out of here.
Paul Ariola plays. He's a Chula Vista kid. He's born and raised right here in San Diego. He used to play for the Galaxy. The Cholos got him, stole him from the Galaxy. Brought him up down here in the youth division. He's played for our 17 and under U.S. national team, 18 and under, 20 and under. Now I believe he's 21, and now he plays for the U.S. national men's team. Last night he comes in probably around the 70th minute, and within 10 minutes, ball comes off the goalie. He's right there, scores.
Nice.
Unbelievable.
Well, you know, and like you said, good luck MLS bringing a team to San Diego, because I don't think it's an uphill battle at this point.
An uphill battle, and, you know, basically, they could do an NAS team. Like, anything that you're going to expect 15,000 or less, they could pull that off.
Right,
they could
right.
pull that off. But they couldn't pull off any team playing in Qualcomm. They couldn't pull it off playing in Petco, because it's just too... weird watching the soccer game in a baseball stadium.
No,
it just ruins the game. I hate to say it. If you watched any of those games in Yankee Stadium for NYFC, I mean, they got some really good talented players over there, but I just watched the game and the field's too small. The angles of seeing the crowd and everything just takes away from the atmosphere, you know, the pageantry and everything.
Yeah.
You know who does it right? Who does it right in this country? There's two teams that on the West Coast out here that do it right, and that's Portland Timbers and the Seattle Sounders. And the Sounders can fill up a 64,000 seat football stadium for a game up there.
Yep,
they
I've
know
seen
how
it.
To do it.
I've seen
and then
it.
And the pageantry that if you watch at the end of the game, before the games that they do behind the goals at the Timbers games, that is a fan base. If I had to go to one MLS game in my life, that would be the game I want to go to, would be the Portland Timbers at home versus the Seattle Sounders.
Oh.
That game would be so over the top.
Plus, I want to stand by the guy with the chainsaw when he's cutting up the, you know, and like, well, yeah, Portland's crazy. I have family up there. They love it. And then in Seattle, they, you know, it's a good soccer fan base up there, but their setup is perfect. They have a mile-long stretch of bars that you can meet up at and then just walk right to the game, and they parade to the game in like one big
now
group.
Now that's that Drew Carey, right? He was the original owner of that team, and he kind of set that up to where they had songs and everything that they would march to the stadium and sing in.
Oh, brilliant, man.
And that's kind of what we do for the Cholos, you know? We have parades and we sing and we have flares and smoke bombs, and they do it in Tijuana really, really good. There's a group that's behind the goal that I sit in, and it's called La Massacre, which means the massacre. Now, there's really only two white guys that sit in that section, and that's me and my friend King George. And he's an Englishman from England who somehow ended up living here in Coronado and gave me a call one day and asked me if I could take him to a game. And I told him I would, and I took him to a game. And I told him that he couldn't go in the section, and he looked at me and goes, "I'm English, bro. This is what we do." He told me, I don't need you to get me in there. I'll get myself in there. And even after me being in there for 5 years, this guy came in, and I thought they were going to give him a hard time. And they actually gave him King's welcome because he was from England. He's from the homeland.
Yeah,
they
he's like, thinking, we invented the sport.
Yeah. So now me and this guy sit in this section, and so we're part of this special group. That's they can actually lock you in. Once you're in this section, you can't get out. because they're so rowdy and radical in there, and they kind of, they have all the songs, and they, at the beginning of the game, they might run a couple banners and stuff, but it's nowhere near the way that Portland does it. Or let's say, I think Kansas City and Columbus started doing these little, these things behind the goal before the game where they raise up the banners. They're gigantic.
Yeah, Kansas City does.
That pageantry, that collectiveness of all that group of people with the like-mindedness together, you couldn't get that done in an NFL game. Are you kidding me?
No way at all. Not right now.
That's what separates those two sports and why soccer, football is so much more of a fan game. Like, the fans feel like they're part of it because they're involved in it. They're throwing confetti on the field. They're shooting, you know, banging on drums. It's not illegal to do all this stuff. It actually makes the crowd a better environment. It makes you want to pay attention.
It kind of just breeds, like you said earlier, you know, it gives the player that little bit of extra energy, which is going to, you know, increase the quality of play. And, you know, maybe you're lucky enough to witness something that, you know, you wouldn't have been able to witness otherwise without that.
Yeah. And that's definitely where you're going to get in Tijuana. You're going to get your, if you can't make it to Spain, you can't make it to Italy or England for one of those Premier Leagues. This Mexican league is a really, really good league. There's a lot of quality players that play in this league that, for one reason or another, choose to play here and not in the MLS. Now, the Mexican league has no salary cap, so the Mexican players, all the players from all over the world that play in the Mexican league, they get whatever they want. You know, they can demand a certain price and get it.
Nice. So the salaries are a little bit more. I know that. I mean, they're not bad in the MLS, but they're nowhere near what they are.
Well, you get the three top guys on your team, your designated players that drum up all the money, and then the rest of the guys are pretty much, you know, dwindling, you know, somewhere around 100,000.
Yeah, give or take. Some not even that much.
Well, this guy, we're getting, you know, our starter, Dairo Moreno, he's making $1 million, you know, for 17 games.
Not bad.
That's a low quote. You might be making more than that.
Yeah, no kidding. Man. Well, Marty, I'm just going to have you back on for some more stories because, I mean, this is – the more I talk, the more I learn, the more I want to know more. So maybe have you back on here in a couple more weeks, see how the season's going and see how you're doing.
I would love to. And if your listeners need a little flavor, a little taste of what we're doing, they can go to the Kick TV on YouTube, that video.
Yes, great.
That gives you a great sense of how my day goes. And it's not a joke. I skate. I'm 47 years old, and I'm still surfing. I'm still skating. I'm still going to the games. I'm still rocking it. I'm having a good time. Life is short. You know, live it to its full potential.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And that's a great video. In fact, I'll put that up on the website and link it up too. Because, yeah, it was great. It really captures the essence of what you're doing down there. But
yeah, they did a really good job. It was in conjunction with a German magazine, one of the biggest football magazine in Germany.
Oh, nice.
And so they did a 6-page spread in their magazine as part, and these guys did the video. So they got the words, and he got the video.
Oh, that's great. Well, man, I'll have to translate that on Google then. And check that out. But Marty,
so John, keep your eye open. Maybe on that game we can tempt you to go on the 30th of September, huh?
That's a possibility. I might be traveling. I've got a couple engagements in the Midwest coming up, but I could take you up on that. Let's talk about it off air. But
you will.
Marty, hey, thanks again, and we'll talk soon, all right?
All right, John. Have a great day. God bless you.
God bless, man. Piénsalo. Y suena y suena. MS chiquitita.
Tú y yo en el rancho montando a caballo, no sé. Piénsalo. Tú y yo en la cena bajo las estrellas, no sé, piénsalo. Tú y yo tomando en la misma botella, pasando al abuso, sintiendo atracción. Sigue tu instinto sentir.
miras bonito, por favor, ya no me la hagas de emoción. Piénsalo. Me gusta este gusto, pa' que nos hacemos. Te llevo la banda y nos amanecemos. Eres detallista, me encantas la neta. Te lleno de rosas mis dos camionetas. No es por presumir, pero soy buena opción. Bonita pareja haríamos tú y yo. Piénsalo.
Well, I didn't lie. Marty is awesome. And he got me excited about soccer in Mexico. And now, we were talking off the air. Rob Schneider's invested. He's got a team that he roots for, the Tigres. Apparently, he filmed a movie down there years ago and fell in love with the squad, from what Marty was telling me off the air. But I almost feel bad. Like, we had some great talks. As soon as I cut it off way too short, because I didn't want to, you know, take up too much time, but of his time. But man, the guy is passionate about his soccer, knows his soccer, and apparently is the unofficial mayor of TJ. And so I'm definitely, Marty, thanks again for coming on. And again, Gringo Cholo, Twitter, Instagram, GringoXolos. And just Google Gringo Cholo, and the videos that he talked about kind of pop up, which are great. It's like a 7-minute kind of, you know, in the tone of an ESPN 30 for 30 short, you know, style, but just kind of his everyday, you know, or getting ready for the game, going down surfing, and just having a good time. But Marty, again, thank you, man. We really appreciate it. And like I was saying, come check out a show sometime at the Comedy Store in La Jolla, or whenever you're around, and I'm definitely going to take you up on that offer to go down. And we're going to go to Toros game too. That's the baseball team down in Tijuana, the semi-pro, which is Major League Baseball affiliated, which I didn't know that until just a couple months ago. Let me think real quick. We'll just go with the usual closings here. If you're in LA, show up, go up, open mic. That is every Sunday except for the last Sunday of the month at the Comedy Store, world famous, on Sunset Boulevard. Eric's the host. It's kind of a variety show, comedy show. And if you want to get up on stage, show up and you'll go up. And, you know, he just tries to get as many people as possible stage time. And so if you want to watch a great show or if you want to participate in a great show, that's your spot. And again, that's three Sundays a month, excluding the last Sunday of the month, every month on Sunday. So go check that out. I will be in, let me make sure I get this date right, Springfield, Missouri at the Blue Room, coming up here in a couple weeks on Saturday, what is that, the 24th of September. I will be at the Blue Room in Springfield, Missouri. So if you're in and around there, Springfield's a nice location. It's easy to get to from numerous surrounding communities. So if you're listening in the area, please come out to the Blue Room, which is actually a brand new comedy club that recently opened in Springfield, Missouri. And it's great. I performed there a few months ago. I like what they're doing. They haven't had a comedy club in that city in a long, long time. So I'm just happy to see that as a comic. Anytime that a city adds a comedy club, that's a good thing. And so, yeah, if you can, that's the September 24th, the Blue Room in Springfield, Missouri. Come on out. I will be there. I'll be probably making fun of the Cardinals a lot. That's usually what I try to do when I get into Cardinals territory, which Springfield is. I mean, their minor league baseball team is the Cardinals, affiliated with the Cardinals. So I understand that and, you know, the history there. So I have a good time is what I'm getting at. But you can also just go to johnjohnishere.com. Check out all the dates and all that kind of stuff. But guys, thank you for listening. Thank you for spreading the word and letting your friends know. And we've been on top of pumping these out every week, and it's going to continue to stay like that. But yeah, thanks for listening. Stay obsessed. And yeah, we'll be back next week.
Bay.